This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm joined by almost my entire family here in the studio. I'm joined by
Christine Wong,
Jeff Sandhu,
Arvind Yuvraj,
and Majida Hashim.
Oh my word, it's a full house today. Stories we have lined up for you today. Jeff will be talking about a potential flying train in China. We'll then be moving on to Majida, who will be talking about a flying taxi.
Yep.
We're then talking about WhatsApp changes for a business app, potentially. Mm-hmm. Arvind, of course, will be talking about something to do with quantum and crypto and
quantum
Chinese
man.
People.
Of course. Quantum
right?
Man. Of course.
Of course. And then Christine, as usual, will be wrapping it up with a bit of KFC.
Of course.
Right. Jeff, start us off with this flying train.
Yeah, so the Hyperloop, we all know about, you know, Elon Musk a few years ago decided to tweet out this, you know, insane idea that he had, and everyone then jumped on board and decided to, you know, let's make this project a reality. So the Hyperloop in the US is undergoing testing. At this point of time, we've seen some demos. Elon Musk himself tweeted off, you know, a really cool demo of
about
the Hyperloop.
330 kilometers an hour or something,
insane.
Right?
Like, you know, go and check out his Twitter feed. Yeah. And, you know, it's one of, like, you know, I'm sure every single tweet that Elon Musk does is like one of the highest numbers of retweets. But yeah, check out the video that he posted up on the Hyperloop. But they're now going to get some competitions by the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Because the country's state-run space contractor, which is China Aerospace Science and Industry Corporation, or CASIC, they announced on the 30th of August that it has started research on a high-speed flying train that they say will be able to reach up to speeds of 4,000 kilometers an hour.
Ooh.
Can you just think about that?
Have you ever been on a Chinese roller coaster?
No.
Just out of interest.
Has anyone survived it?
Yeah, I did. I did. And I would never do it again. But there you go. Yeah.
4,000
kilometers.
That's
ridiculous.
Yeah. 4,000 kilometers. That could kill some. My head would fall off if I was, you know, decided to, like, ooh, I wonder how the view looks like, and
stick my head out of the window. No, don't do that.
4,000 kilometers an hour. That's insane. That's never before been seen. That's 10 times faster than the world's fastest bullet train, which is also in China.
It is.
Yeah.
Go on, Arvind. I know you're chomping at the bit to say something.
No, I was just gonna say, like, how did they test this? Like, the first round when they didn't know how fast that they can go.
Uh-huh.
When did they decide, like, if 4,000 was okay? Like, how did they get to that point?
So Elon Musk is doing what? 1,200? Yeah, I'll tell you what, let's do 4,000.
Yeah.
That's probably how they came to that decision.
Why not?
Right?
I'm sure it's safe.
It's four times faster than a commercial flight and over three times the speed of sound. So the speed of sound goes up to 1,200 kilometers an hour. This does 4,000 kilometers an hour. So it basically, the flying train that they call it is basically a passenger pod that uses the same magnetic levitation that travels through a near vacuum tube, as the CASIC manager explained through Chinese media. So the concept is very similar to Hyperloop, with a futuristic high-speed transportation envisioned by Elon Musk in 2013. And as we all know, a lot of them are competing to reach that 1,200 kilometers an hour, which is the speed of sound, because that's what Hyperloop and every other system that uses this magnetic levitation will have to achieve, because that is the standard. That is, like, then you can only call yourself a proper, you know, Hyperloop system, or you know, something the next generation, right? If not, then it's just a bullet train kind of speed.
I mean. Yeah. The thing is, though, the kind of acceleration on that would be something terrifying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you feel that in your body or
something
absolutely. Like that? Like,
reaching that supersonic speed very quickly is going to be very uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what
to
they've
say the
done
least.
Is, yeah. So Mao Kai, he's the chief designer of the system. He said that, you know, the train will gradually get to 4,000 kilometers an hour. You won't necessarily feel, because it's using the magnetic levitation, so it's generally floating in a near vacuum tube. You don't really feel anything. You may just feel like a G force when, you know, it starts to be really quick. But it, the other issue that I had is like, how expensive is this thing going to be for?
Right.
You know, if they're going to make sure, like, you know, this train is to do long distance to travel from, you know, one part of China to the other part of China, you can do it within half an hour. That's great, but you know, if the average consumer is not able to spend, then the point? So they did say though that, you know, the tickets won't be too expensive for the ordinary passenger. So I'll be raising my hand, the first one up to.
I don't know if I'd be the first one.
I would.
I'd let them. You know,
I love speed, Rich.
I'm right behind you, literally behind you, because I want to make sure that this thing is safe before I commit my body into it. 4,000, you know, kilometers an hour. If that hits something, there is going to be nothing left.
That is three times faster than the sound barrier, by the way.
Yeah.
You are going to go through a sonic boom.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, love it.
Eardrums, would those eardrums survive that, you know?
This is my
I only have one because the other one's not working at this point in time. So you might as well, right? What do I have to lose?
That's why you weren't singing this
morning. Do we know at all how many people are meant to be on a passenger pod at any given time?
Not at this point in time, no. So they right now, they're just trying it out up to... They're trying to get it up to 1,200 kilometers.
Just without people in it
first. Without people in it at first.
Okay.
They've got over 200 patents for this project as well. It's part of their One Belt, One Road, which is a new Chinese... infrastructure, which is, let me tell you, they're spending a lot of money on this.
They are spending an awful lot of money on this. Yeah. Okay, Majida, and I know you're chomping at the bit. You've got a story. We're going from flying cars now to flying taxis.
Yeah, so taxi startup Lilium has demonstrated a working prototype of its battery-powered mini jet early this year, and now it has...
Wait, back up there. Battery-powered mini jet?
Yeah, it is a flying taxi that you can call to come to your house. It will pick you up and then just fly you somewhere.
Whoa. Again, let's test his thing out first, make sure he survives that. Then we can put him in the flying taxi.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to get him in that flying train, and then it will go to the destination, and then the flying taxi will pick him up, and it'll all be good.
But the flying taxi won't be so fast. It's got a top speed about 300 kilometers.
Safe.
Right? Not 4,000. It doesn't go against the sound barrier.
You know, Rich, you say this is safer than the flying train. I say no, because if you just have two of these flying taxis hovering around your apartment, they're going to crash.
This is true.
That's going to be a scene from a movie or a game that you've been playing recently.
Unlike this thing that you're talking about.
The flying train is in a pod. It's a vacuum pod.
This train you're talking about, it's a bullet. It's in like a barrel and it's a bullet. Carry on, Majida.
The flying taxi itself has raised $90 million in funding.
Oh, my word.
And one of the funders is Tencent.
Mm. Of course.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And this is important because it's taking on powerhouses such as Google's Larry Page and Uber's Elevate that's emerging in the field itself. Mm. So Google's Larry Page is spending about $100 million in flying cars in two projects.
Change.
Right? And he's personally funding one of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is the startup under Z.Aero.
And also Kitty Hawk, right?
And also Kitty Hawk. Mm. That's the other one. Mm. And Uber Elevate has released... a white paper on the concerns and feasibility barriers for flying cars. This includes regulatory concerns, battery concerns, costing, safety, and possibly air traffic control issues. Because, like you're right, you're going to have people flying on your apartment in every direction. There needs to be highways in the sky, which there exists right now, but those are for aircrafts. You're going to need highways in the sky for cars, and we don't know how high that will go. And Uber wants to demonstrate a flying car by 2020. But with the funding right now, Lilium has more than 11 million with the 11 million raised previously. They are the best funded electric aircraft project in the world.
So let me give you a bit of a detail of who Lilium are. What they are known for is their party trick. For example, their party trick is that the multiple engine flaps, they will tilt from vertical into horizontal position depending on the jet's flight mode. So when you're taking off, the flaps will be tilted vertical to enable the aircraft to sort of lift off. But once it's airborne, it will then transition very slowly into a horizontal position, and then it will enable the aircraft to accelerate fully enough to...
VTOL.
VTOL, right?
Yeah, VTOL is vertical takeoff and landing.
Yeah, so with that, though, that is their party trick. But the other thing that makes them really exciting for investors and why they've raised up nearly $90 million is that they're using batteries. yeah. instead of, you know, gasoline, which is, you know, pretty much every other flying car in the world is thinking of using gasoline. But these guys, they see the future beyond that, because you're building a flying car, which is, we're talking the future here. So how certain are you when in the next 20 years, when flying cars become the norm, that we will still be using gasoline for or petrol?
It'd be pretty weird seeing the flying car land at the petrol station and trying to fill up over there and then taking off
exactly.
after that, right?
So that is what makes them interesting for investors to go like, ah, these guys are cool. But it's a huge problem. Just ask Elon Musk how much of a challenge he had in building the Model 3. Mm. He had to build an entire infrastructure just to make a Model 3.
I want to get Arvind's input on this because I noticeably, he's very quiet. When we've spoken about things all speedy and flying, and he's very quiet. Come on, Arvind. Give me some.
No, minute. I'm just thinking if they make these things and like everyone starts to use the flying taxis and stuff, how are you gonna have rules in the sky?
Right.
Like that's the biggest thing. Like you spoke about if they are like two. I mean, it's like we were kidding, right? But then it's actually if you start to use taxis to pick you up, then who governs that? Like
the sky police.
Like right. what's the safety regulations when you're up there? You know, instead of on the ground.
Yeah, Jetsons. Yeah. I see. Just watch Jetsons.
Yeah.
So right now it is governed by air traffic control, but you're going to need air traffic control towers everywhere in the city now, not just in the airport. Mm.
Which is going to get expensive.
Mm. Right. Or AI would be doing the job.
Drones.
Mm-hmm. Well, drones. Yeah. Cop. Ooh, police drones.
You see.
There you go.
TM.
Aren't drones just like pilotless flying cars?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
All right, okay, we're going to take a very short break. We've got some music coming right up. Do join us after these messages when we've got a story about WhatsApp announcing a free business app. More on that right after this. You are listening to Enterprise BizBytes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. You are tuned in to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. Joined in the studio by
Majida Hashim,
Arvind Yuvraj,
Jeff Sandhu,
and Christine Wong.
Oh my word, it takes Full 5 minutes to introduce everybody. Stories are finished, that's it, we're wrapping up. No, anyway, next story, coming out of Jeff, WhatsApp. What's all this about?
Yeah, so WhatsApp is gearing up to finally, after many months of, I guess, rumors that spread around on your WhatsApp messaging and like those chain messages that everyone used to get, and
Arvind gets them all the time.
Arvind gets it all the time, and you know, my mom's falls for it all the time, and then she forwards it to another 20 of her friends, and you know, after 20 years it still exists.
Right.
Like, these chain messages were from carving up to stones, they're now moving to the digital platform. It's finally happening because WhatsApp will finally charge its users, but it's slightly different. It's a different take. So they're going to be charging large enterprise businesses for tools to better communicate with customers. So WhatsApp will be creating a WhatsApp business app. It's a platform within the WhatsApp ecosystem as well. It will start off with two tiers. One, it's a free app for small to medium-sized businesses, though they haven't really outlined the specifics of the functionality of the app itself. The enterprise for larger businesses, well, they will charge a hefty fee. They haven't really say how much yet, but they do intend on charging businesses in the future. This is according to WhatsApp's chief operating officer, Matt Idema. He told the Wall Street Journal. But he said we don't have the details of the monetization figured out just yet. So the company, they want to facilitate someone in placing an order with a local bakery or like looking at new styles from a clothing store or shopkeepers who use WhatsApp to stay in touch with hundreds of customers from a single smartphone. And it's, of course, just a lot easier to just WhatsApp everyone, right? And it's actually, you know, if you look at how a lot of countries like Malaysia, we have this habit of doing this PM me more detail.
That drives me crazy.
Right, so
you even put the price there right next to the product that you're selling, and people underneath will still say PM.
PM, yes. And this, actually from there is where the WhatsApp business will come in handy. And the reason why it'll come in handy is because you would have an account that after you've been verified by WhatsApp, you will get a green tick saying that, you know, you've been verified as a WhatsApp business user. And once you've been verified by WhatsApp, you are allowed to basically put in a chatbot within the system as well.
Oh.
Yeah. So what happens is then when you get these people who like PM me details, You don't have to respond to them.
Finally.
Because it will be responded automatically. Hopefully, though. That's the idea of, you know, why, you know, WhatsApp would do something like this and charge its users.
Haven't Facebook implemented something like that, though?
Yeah, so Facebook has
messages.
Facebook
yeah.
has their Facebook chat, and, you know, it can tell you, oh, this business is closed at this point of time. They mm-hmm. may take longer to respond to you. So they're using... It's owned by Facebook anyways, yeah.
right?
WhatsApp
right.
is owned by Facebook. So what yeah. they're doing here is they're seeing, you know, Facebook Messenger has this great chatbot or just an AI system, you know, looking at the store is open at what time, how long they generally take to respond to a message. If they already have this in place, why can't I then use this for WhatsApp, which has a much larger database? And you kind of think of it like Facebook Messenger is more of like their R&D center for them to try out new things, the chatbots and stuff like that. Now that you see Facebook is doing a Facebook business and enterprise solution, obviously they're going to implement the chatbot systems and they're going to charge you for this, right? Because you can't create a chatbot within WhatsApp. You can create a chatbot within Facebook, but it's really hard to do within WhatsApp.
Let's just clarify for people who may have just come in halfway through this conversation. WhatsApp will not be charging you for messages.
No,
they will
be
charging certain businesses who want to be part of this.
Think of this like AirAsia. For example, right? So AirAsia, at this point of time, you can tweet them, you can Facebook message them, but you can't WhatsApp them. Imagine if you could. It allows a lot of people who are familiar with, you know, the idea of just WhatsApping someone. You can WhatsApp a brand. So you can just WhatsApp an airline company or a ticketing company and go like, hey, can I know the status of my, you know, flight ticket order ABC123? And then, you know, it will be able, if you have a chatbot in place, it will be able to send you the details, or you are just able to reply as a normal, like, you know, just like sending someone a text message.
Yeah, it's just taking the middleman out of direct messaging, because, like, you know, on Facebook or on Twitter or anything, you have to go to their page or you have to know their username in order to send them a direct message. But if you just have their number in your phone, it's so accessible. And also, I think it makes, you know, companies a lot more relatable. Like, a lot of companies even now use Twitter as like a thing where they're like, hey, we're gonna answer questions in a funny way and stuff. Imagine if you could have that, you know, almost like screen to screen, I guess, you know, conversation with a company. It suddenly makes the company so much more human as well.
We use WhatsApp.
Yeah.
That makes us sort of, you know, human in a way. And and we see the differences in how someone would message using Twitter and using WhatsApp. It's a lot more conversational. And we will reply you in a more conversational manner as well. Mm. So, yeah.
Guys?
Is WhatsApp doing this because, like, who do we cover that they're doing, they're selling all their stuff on WeChat, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's completely. So is WhatsApp doing it because they want to compete, or they want to have like the same mechanism? Because I think, like we said, like in China, they're like online stores selling all their goods through WeChat and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think it could be. But, you know, I think just, you know, WhatsApp, which is owned by Facebook, they're just looking at ways where they can, you know, expand their horizon. And clearly, you know, the enterprise solution is one of the ways where, you know, they're realizing how many businesses, especially this part of the region, is using WhatsApp to sell items, right? Mm. You can create an entire company just by selling things on WhatsApp itself.
And
right?
people do.
And people do, right? Yeah. So those people, you don't have to worry. You will not have to pay for WhatsApp business, because they will only charge this hefty price tag, which they have no idea how much yet. They will only charge the large businesses, the airline companies, the basically the Facebooks, right? So the Twitter who wants to go on WhatsApp, you will have to pay. I'm sure for BFM as well, you know, there will be a certain... area where, you know, we'll be able to, you know, fit into the small and medium enterprises, because they're looking at, you know, these really large companies. You're talking about, you know, like Malaysia Airlines and Google and, you know, those kind of companies.
Verified accounts almost.
Verified accounts. So yeah, if you're a verified account on Twitter, then I think you would definitely fall under the WhatsApp business large, you know, organization. So yeah.
All right. Time for us to wrap up for this segment. We'll be back in a couple of minutes, where of course Captain Quantum will be telling us about a first quantum cryptographic satellite network, of course, coming out of China. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Brewing financial minds. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It is Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury, joined in the studio by
Christine Wong
and Jeff Sander,
Arvind Yuvaraj
and Majidah Hashim.
So we've already had three stories so far. Jeff was just telling us about how WhatsApp have announced a free business app who are going to be charging for the bigger enterprises. Yep. Majidah spoke about Lilium raising $90 million for a Series B for all electric flying taxi. Mm-hmm. Jeff earlier spoke about China's flying train. Mm. We say that
4,000 kilometers an hour.
Terrifying.
I love it.
Now, of course, Captain Quantum,
of course,
has now set himself comfortably in the studio. Mm. And you're going to be talking to us about a quantum cryptographic satellite network.
Yes.
Can you simplify this just a little bit?
It's like the easiest word in the world.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll try that again. Quantum cryptographic satellite network. Okay. Mm. Okay. Mm.
See,
okay.
It gets easier as you get.
Layman's terms.
Yeah, layman's terms. So,
yes. Easier to pronounce and never easier to understand.
Yeah. So basically when a couple of times last week we spoke about...
I love it how he says basically, right?
I mean, anyway, you know, when you're Captain Quantum, it's basic stuff.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. So point taken.
Last week when we did a couple of stories about quantum, we had qubit. So quantum bits, and then that's quantum computing. Basically, what they want to do is they want to encrypt messages and information using quantum mechanics. That's the gist of it, why they keep studying this mechanism, even though it's super hard to understand. So encryptors, people who want to encrypt messages and information, they want to keep secrets and they want to know if their secrets have been intercepted. One way to do that is to use quantum mechanics. So they think that by using something called quantum entanglement, which is also something that we covered last week, that could give them like a way of knowing whether a message has been intercepted by eavesdroppers or third-party people and stuff, because they see that by using entanglement, they will be able to know if a message has someone coming in the middle. Entanglement basically is that you have one particle A that is exactly the same as particle B.
Yeah.
It's like a mirror image.
There's a weird term for this. Spooky something at a distance.
Yeah, yeah. I think Einstein said it like, spooky something at a distance.
Right.
So you have like particle A and particle... It's not exactly particle B. It's like A and A. So when a B comes in the middle, then the N1 becomes AB. So these guys are able to figure out. You know what I mean? Before it reaches the end, they know someone has sort of... come in the middle and sort of disturb or change the message and stuff.
Okay.
That's the basic understanding of it.
Basic again, Jeff.
Again, I'm gonna keep saying basic just to sound smart. I should actually change my voice when doing these kinds of stories. Like, you know, quantum entanglement is.
You need a pair of glasses and a lab coat.
Just to sound smart. So what researchers have done so far is they've used these quantum entanglement messages through optical fibers. It travels as through air like packets of light. The problem with this is that when they do this, it's absorbed by the medium around it, so it loses the information. They've also tried to send it through fiber, which can go about 100 km, which is also complicated because they'll need machinery and equipment to do this, and that machinery is very expensive and not practical
to use.
Like
a quantum repeater.
That's what they call it. They're all like super cool words. Mm. An alternative, like a good way, is to beam these photons through space where nothing will absorb them, through a vacuum. And so far, they haven't been able to figure out if this can be done. But then recently, these experiments conducted by Pan Jianwei, he's a physicist at the University of Science and Technology in China, he's been able to prove that it can be done using a satellite that was launched last year called Micius. I think that's how it's pronounced, Micius. They launched it in August, and then he was able to use this to test whether the particles that is on Earth is the same as the one that he beams up to space. So basically, so what they did is they teleported information from ground to orbit, and then they tested whether the photon that was on Earth is the same as the one that was sent up to the space station.
I'm just wondering, right? Mm. When they're sat around on their lunch breaks, how do they come up with something like this? You know, I want to use quantum entanglement to send a message from here to a satellite in space. Okay.
I would be exactly the dude next to him, go like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. I would be choking on my rice or noodles. You know, I'd be like,
what?
Wait, let's just get Captain Quantum. And Captain Quantum will come in and say, Well, basically.
Yeah.
Well, basically. Yeah. I think this is what they talk about. We speak about, if you saw last night's Game of Thrones, they speak about if you saw last night's advancement in science and technology that lets you beam up protocols and photons and stuff.
Right, right.
Yeah,
right.
It's on completely different levels. Mm-hmm. But that's where this entanglement thing, it comes into play, because now they've tested that they can send information from Earth to space without getting disturbed in the middle. They want to then move into quantum cryptography next, because that's the end goal.
Because it's not quite complicated enough.
Because they want to complicate it even more. They want to use quantum cryptography. And like I think you explained it last week when you said that it's like a real life Schrodinger's cat.
Yeah.
So it's the cat's in the box. You don't know if it's alive or it's dead. The moment you open the box, then you know. So if you send something and you don't know if it's A or B, the moment someone gets in the middle to find out, they know.
Right.
That's what they want to achieve. What they want to do next is they actually want to send the first quantum satellite, quantum cryptography satellite, into space. They say that'll happen in the next 5 years, and China will be the first to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They've done demonstrations on this, though.
Like, they have.
Their third demonstration has shown that they've managed to share a secure key between Shenglong and a station that's 2,500 kilometers away in Nanshan, which is a town near China's westernmost province. So 2,500 kilometers away, they've managed to do this using MISCIA's capabilities, which is just sending photons out into space and then come back to Earth.
This is fascinating.
Yeah. So they've managed to do this. It's just now it's like, let's make this a norm, I guess. Like,
hang on, I mean, but let's just kind of back away from it a little bit and like look at the way some of the stories we've been talking about, right? If you look at what has been coming out of China just in the last couple of years in terms of tech, the quantum tech we're talking about, the stuff you were talking about just a few minutes ago, Jeff, Tencent, and all the stuff that they're involved in, all of this kind of this digital world, and yet just a few years. I joked at the beginning about going on a Chinese roller coaster, but seriously, these changes that have happened massively over just the last few years. Why are we seeing this huge change? You think?
Well, even in AI as well, right?
Yeah,
we know how China is leading the AI race and how they're hiring people from all around the world, not just from the US,
and in the other way around. And the US are now hiring the Chinese.
Because they know that they're falling behind. Yeah. And we all, like as you said, we sometimes joke about, the Great Firewall of China and like how they don't allow stuff. There is probably a reason why they're doing this Great Firewall of China and not letting information get out. Because look at what they're doing. Mm. Quantum computing and the AI and the surge of the flying train and cars. The next thing, if you go to China in 10 years' time, it's not going to be the city that, we know as of now. Mm. 10 years ago, we joked about, all, Chinese manufacturers are cloning off the iPhones. Now, it's kind of like the other way around. Like, you see iPhones cloning what these Chinese manufacturers are doing. And mind you, some of these phones that I've seen before in Mobile World Congress in China, some of these phones that you don't ever see outside of China are amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ever needed proof that that technology grows at an exponential rate, this is it, right?
Like,
you can't even begin to... I'm just sitting here like, I don't even understand how my Wi-Fi can go out of and can get no signal and stuff when they can send stuff into space, information into space, and then the space can come back and then it's the same, but the photons are like... How? Yeah. How does this work?
Well, basically...
It's spooky actions.
I was gonna say, it's like when they say like quantum, what they're talking about is like we were saying, like bits can be both at the same time, like zero and one. Light bulb can be on and off. We can be here and at in Nexus Bangsa South doing the event at the same time. It's quantum physics.
We're
in the studio and we're there, all at the same time.
All right then, smarty pants. Time for us to wrap up for this segment. Of course, we'll be back with our final story, another story from China, actually. Courtesy of Christine.
Wow.
Anyway, here's some music. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere. 018-789-8899 if you want to send a WhatsApp message. And if you want to get us on Twitter, we are at BFM Radio. You're listening to Enterprise BizBytes on BFM 89.9.
Building first world mindsets. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It is Enterprise BizBytes. We are onto our final story, courtesy of Christine Wong. Christine, what is it?
Hi. So, KFC, no surprise, in China, also no surprise, are testing letting people pay with their faces.
What?
Oh, yes. I mean, okay, first of all, I'm very pleased to be covering another KFC story. If KFC could, like, you know, contact me to be their spokesperson, that'd be fantastic. No, but what it is Alipay, which is obviously owned by Alibaba, has launched a new way to pay for your KFC in China. Well, it says by smiling. It's called Smile to Pay, but you just look at a camera and it scans your face, and then you pay for the stuff with your face. The facial payment system is currently only available at a single KFC in Hangzhou, China. The KFC shop that offers the facial payment system is actually a healthier version of the chain called K-Pro, which sells salads, juices, and paninis instead of, you know, fried chicken.
Grilled chicken instead of fried chicken.
Oh, yes, because it makes... Yeah. All the difference.
I would really love to see this K-Pro healthier version of KFC here in Malaysia, though.
I'd love that. I would go like every day, but not the point. The point is,
every day.
I've outed myself.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the company behind this, face paying technology is called Ant Financial, and it's an Alibaba subsidiary.
Wait a minute. Ant Financial are a cryptocurrency who are raising an awful lot of money very quickly in terms of facial recognition software.
Well, here we go, because its Smile to Pay technology needs only 1 to 2 seconds of facial scanning with a 3D camera and what they're calling a liveness detection algorithm to check the identity of the person paying, and then they also have to enter their mobile phone number to help guard against fraud. The Smile to Pay payment process requires that you have signed up for the Alipay app and enable facial recognition, but apart from that, it's like you don't need a phone, you don't need anything, you just need your face, which is pretty cool. And actually, it's really interesting because they actually posted a video of how the payment process works and they really tested it. One young woman in the video uses the machine with minimal makeup, heavy makeup, an assortment of wigs, and a group of people with heavy makeup, and it still every single time recognizes her face and her face alone. So what you do is you go up to this kind of screen thing, this massive screen thing, and you pick what you want to order, and then it gets processed, and then it's like, hey, look up into the camera, and you look up into the camera, and seconds later, it's like, yep, that's your face. You can pay now.
So, I mean, let's just, like, be a little bit nefarious about this, right?
Go for it.
How would you quickly get a whole bunch of people's faces into a database?
Like that.
You'd go, anybody
like
want
that.
Free KFC?
Yep.
Just look into this screen for us. But that's essentially what they're doing, though, right?
Yeah.
This and financial.
Yeah.
I mean, do we not worry about this? You know, should we be worried?
For free fried chicken? Well, grilled chicken.
You'd be okay with that?
I'll be okay with it.
I mean, if you're using any kind of, like, webcam thing on your phone or your PC, then you're doing that already, no?
Okay. Now you sound like Audrey. You know, Audrey's the one that's always absolutely paranoid about people listening in on her phone and spying on her.
This is actually the interesting thing. They're using their facial, like their kind of justification is that their facial recognition technology actually helps improve security because it can actually detect when someone's photo is being manipulated, when someone is falsely impersonating another person, and so it can prevent what they're calling biometric spoofing, and the algorithm can actually detect shadows and other features to test if the thing standing in front of the camera is a person and not a photo or a video used to trick the payment system. So this is like, I mean, it's terrifying, but also, you know, cool.
It's very clever.
Very, very clever. But a beta version of this software was introduced in 2015 by Jack Ma at IFA in Germany. Mm-hmm. And you have the option to also snap a selfie to pay as well. Not for this particular outlet, but in future, as they start to implement this technology, you can also snap a selfie and pay as well.
Jeff.
Yeah.
Anything to add to this?
Well, I'm just fairly excited to see Alibaba really utilizing blockchain technology, because the thing that they didn't mention about is that, because Ant Technology, like you mentioned, Ant Financial, they are, you know, one of the leaders when it comes to cryptocurrency in China.
In China, yeah.
And, you know, we know that they have done a few expansions over in Indonesia as well. They are looking into blockchain. So if they could do something like this where it attracts the consumers, the average consumer, to go like, hey, that's actually pretty cool. And then realizing that, oh, this the thing that runs on this blockchain and it runs on this kind of, you know, secure network system. It kind of helps just the whole cryptocurrency world to get into a more adaptive form. And then, you know, hopefully if you smile, the best smile will get, you know, one cryptocurrency coin of whatever value.
We can live in hope.
So, it's just really cool for them to utilize something like that for, you know, a very consumer-driven, which, you know, you stand in front of. It's basically just a giant iPad.
Yeah.
Just a camera in front there. You stand of it. It scans your face. You get a free meal. Mm. That's how it is. Mm. The back end of it is the one that's really, really cool.
Really clever. Yeah.
What would be interesting is if this software can evolve and learn as you age, because faces might not change if you use heavy makeup, light makeup, wigs and things.
Yeah.
But when a child ages into teenage and then adulthood and all, and if that one can follow the evolution of the little changes that the face has, without physically updating, and it grows with you, that would be really interesting.
Majida, I look exactly the same as I did when I was 4.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
I'm lying, obviously.
If anyone is going to be able to do that, it's going to be China, because they have been a front runner in both developing and applying facial recognition technology for commercial use. They even, like, there's an airport in Nanyang City in the Henan province that's installed a check-in system that augments a boarding pass with a facial recognition system developed by Baidu. Yeah. So, like, they're already on their way. And before you know it, China's going to be complete. Sorry about your beautiful Chinese mobile phones, but they're going to be gone. They're going to be useless.
Just before that, though, you got to watch the video that they have posted on, because I think it's just hilarious. In them trying to demonstrate that, you know, you can't fool the system. So, the video shows of this fairly beautiful Chinese woman who walks in front of the camera, and then, like, she scans the photo, and then she gets the free meal. And then they say, like, you can't fool this system. So, and then they put a wig on her and she looks completely different, but the system still scans it. And then they put makeup on her and then the system still scans it. The whole process, I get the idea, but the execution is worth of a visit, and you just have a really good time. It's 2 minutes and 30 seconds okay. long. Just go to YouTube and just type Alipay launches Smile to Pay in China. Search that term on YouTube. It's the first video. It's 2 minutes of 30 seconds of pure entertainment.
I mean, whatever it is, it works. So
it works, though, it's really good video. Yeah.
Okay, folks, it is time for us to wrap up. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday. Now, let's quickly run through the stories that we covered today. Jeff, you started off with...
Yes, I did a flying train that will be... they're experimenting with the idea of developing a flying train in China that can travel up to 4,000 kilometers an hour.
And I got a flying taxi that will bring you to 300 kilometers per hour, but it's already got a prototype and it's very well funded to fly.
90 million they raised, right? Okay, and then you spoke about WhatsApp.
Yeah, so WhatsApp are launching a WhatsApp business platform for all you business owners who are, you know, using WhatsApp as a way to communicate to your customers. With WhatsApp Business, you're now basically having a chatbot within your WhatsApp, so you don't have to reply to every single message. They will charge, though, for the large businesses. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then we also spoke about how China wants to launch the first quantum cryptography satellite.
Basically. And then
basically.
Christine, of course, wrapped up with...
KFC in China is testing letting people pay with their faces.
But it's much cooler than it sounds,
yes.
Right? If you missed any part of this show, head over to the website bfm.my where you can download the podcast. And, of course, you can get our app that is available...
on the Apple App Store or on the Play Store.
There you
go. Depends on what phone you use.
There you go. Right. Stick around, because after the 1 o'clock news, of course, as per usual, will be the... Breakfast Grill
Replay.
Do not go anywhere. You are listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.